Environmental General Services, may I help you?
Is, okay, I got a hit, got it. So we have a quorum and it's 4:07 and I'd like to call the, let's see, it's the 8th, huh? September 8th Environmental Services Advisory Committee meeting to order. So first up is item one, roll call. So let me get everybody's names here. Elvira Suarez-Din, she is absent. Fred Ariza.
Here.
Ryan Thomas.
Here.
Yolanda Herrera.
Here.
Margo Garcia.
Here.
Michael Harrier.
Here.
Susanna Shippers.
Here.
And Trevor Ledbetter.
Here.
I am Chris Yarder, present. We're skipping minutes today again, and going directly to item two for chairperson's report. And I don't have a big report, but I want to let you know that we're not ignoring the future agendas you requested last week. We are going, ESAC is going to get a bifusion report at the next full ESAC meeting on October 13th. So that's Ward 6's plastic blocks. And we were yesterday in the Waste Diversions, Collections and Education Subcommittee, we were looking forward to hear from Lori Pumphrey from Code Enforcement about the food trucks, but she was unable to attend. So hopefully Margo will have that in her report for our October meeting. So I just didn't want you to think that we were ignoring requests. So, well, here we are, item three, director's report, Carlos. And you gave us lots of materials to look at. So you're gonna talk to us about environmental services fund, cost of service, and rate design.
Okay. Thank you. Let me just give you a little bit of background music. The city manager has been asked by the mayor and council really to come up with a comprehensive approach related to rates, fees, and city fees. Okay, it has always been that the city or the city manager had taken rate increases or rate adjustments or increases to the services the city provides on a one-to-one basis. And so this time or this year is really he was asked by the council really to give him a broader view of a good understanding in terms of what are some of the potential rate increases the city may be asking or proposing in future or in this fiscal year as a comprehensive package. And so we have gone through and briefed council with the exception of Ward 1 at this point in time. And so, and those essentially, those proposed fees include environmental services, include water, include parks and recreation fees, includes Part Tucson fees, it includes plan and development services fees. So it's a multitude of fees and rates being proposed to be adjusted.
Don't forget transit.
Transit, it's not part of the ask at this point in time. They're still going to be looking at that a little bit down the road. But okay. Yeah, that is one of the fees that at one point in time will have to be looked at, because still the direction still is we want to continue, but the council is still interested in continue to have the free fare program. And so that's something that they're working through okay. That before we make a decision in terms of moving with the full cost of service for those fees. So, and this came up fairly, I would say quickly. So we didn't really have, we knew we had to make some sort of a proposed adjustment And we didn't have that much time really to make sure that we went through a whole full cost of service study. So what we ended up doing, what we proposed was, we did a cost of service study, a comprehensive cost of service study in 2016. And in there, it really, we had some proposed fees that essentially were never enacted. So we used that model and really updated that from a cash requirement perspective, and really just prepared a memo just looking at what those fee adjustments need to look like in the short term, knowing that we're in the middle of a transitional period, okay? And what I mean by the transition period is the interest of the AADA is we still need to provide the current services in the as-is condition without making some significant modifications to how we provide the service, the frequency, and the cost. And then as we embark on the zero waste roadmap, it's going to identify some strategies, some programs, some future investments that need to be looked at down the road. But in the short term, we still need to generate sufficient revenue to essentially to continue to operate the fund, to be able to provide the current services in the as-is condition, and really get us prepared really in the short term, more in a much better financial position than where we at today. And so the copy of the memo that I sent to you, it really just outlines essentially not only the approach, but really coming up with a short-term 3-year financial program as we again transition from continue to provide the current services, having it be more solvent, and then getting us prepared as we embarked on the zero waste progress and initiatives, really a little bit in a much better financial position, really to start planning for those improvements and really make the adequate or the necessary adjustments to be able to fulfill those service requirements in the future. So want to make sure that we separate those two things out and not really commingle those two things at the same time, taking a three-step approach as we move forward with that. So essentially what's being incorporated in terms of really the proposed fee adjustments is really ensuring that we have the adequate dollars to continue to fund our fleet replacement program. And the fleet replacement program is not only the garbage trucks that we need to pick up garbage, the garbage trucks that we need to pick up the recyclables, the roll-offs, the front end loaders, but also all the land equipment. Over the past few years, we have made adjustments to the fleet program because one, we were not very certain if funds were going to be available to sustain operations. So we did a cutback on the fleet purchases to make sure that we were always on the black, still continue to operate, but not really put in a significant bind. By doing that, we created a very small snowball that over the years, that snowball is basically growing. And we really don't want to continue ensuring that ball continues to grow, the snowball continues to grow, knowing that at the end of the day, it may have some implications on the service that we provide, the effectiveness, the efficiency, and the reliability of the program. So that's why we're very focused on getting back on track to a normalized fleet and equipment program so that we don't have any significant impacts moving down the road. One of the things that, as you may recall, one of the things that is our bonds is a little bit is really when we went to every other week. And so the fleet requirements were reduced, but at the same time, we certainly want to make sure that we keep up with a regular program moving forward. So that's what you'll see on the draft memorandum. You'll see that on table one. It really just outlines for essentially, I don't know if you have it in front of us, or if you want to pull it up on the screen, we can certainly do that. I don't know if Lucy, if you can do that or if we're okay. And that's basically the memo that is called Draft Memorandum by NewGen.
I'm getting it up. Is there a certain page you want me to go to?
There you go. If you just want to scroll down a little bit, just where it says table one, right there.
Oops.
Right there. So then again, that is really what we are projecting in terms of the what we call the rolling stock for collection equipment and landfill equipment for years 1, 2, and 3, Okay, so that's what the amount of dollars that we need every year really to keep up with the vehicle replacement. And again, when you compare, and this is really a high level number, is that number is we're projecting $8.5 million in year six. Traditionally, where we've been somewhere in the $5.5-6 million range. Okay, so that's where essentially the difference between what we have bought or purchased in the past 2 to 3 years as compared to what those purchase would be in the coming years. If you want to slow down or up, just
can I ask you, were those continuing the same kind of trucks, the biodiesel, or is that moving towards electric, which are very much more expensive?
So with that, Ms. Margo, still continues with the CNG trucks. You may know that we place an order for one electrical vehicle. We don't anticipate that we'll see that vehicle at least in another year and a half to 2 years. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, we're going to continue purchasing the same type of vehicles that we have here today. The other thing we have always talked about, and we have been able to kind of make ends meet, not to the level what we're proposing, but we're making it a requirement. So almost like a cash expenditure, just like we're buying tires and buying vehicles. We want to make sure that we allocate and program for a 1 million allocation for landfill closure and post closure as a revenue requirement. Okay. So, and then the other thing that we're also make sure that we start putting money aside to for our capital program. And that is essentially the $1 million that we have always talked about setting aside. But it always has been an afterthought that after we pay the bills and after we settle all the accounts, that whatever's left over, we assign it back to fund balance. In this case, the proposal is we just want to generate an actual expenditure. We want to generate enough revenue to be able to make sure that for sure, we are able to allocate that $1 million for capital, the $1 million for landfill closure every year. So essentially $2 million that will go into those funds, those reserve funds. Okay, so then if you look at the allocation of cost, obviously that's what we think or what's being projected in terms of the cost that we have to cover. Okay, so one of the things that it's included in there is the disposal cost. Okay, so refuse collection is really, again, personnel, equipment, all those items are essentially direct cost of what we spend out there, include not only normal costs, but also include some capital outlay in there. Within essentially that residential collection, we also have made an allocation based on budget for our administrative costs that, one, we have to pay the general fund for their services. We also have to pay the business services department for their services, insurance, and general fund contributions to the tune of $6.7 million. So those are things that they're taken away from our budget. We transfer the money back to them. And so we need to account for that. One of the things that were all included in there as a revenue requirement is the disposal cost. Okay. And traditionally we have not charged customers for that disposal cost. But if we want to approach this from a cost of service perspective, we got to make sure that we account for that cost. Okay. It has been traditionally a policy decision not to charge customers for that disposal cost, but we got to make sure that we can account for that and be able to cover that that cost as we would in any other business operation. We would have to cover those costs. And again, that's so when you all add up all this stuff, that is really a true cost of providing residential services. And so for year one, we're projecting that we need $38.6 million to be able to pay for that service. I don't know if there's any questions to this point. If you want to scroll down a little bit more. And again, the same principle goes on commercial front load collection. Again, what it takes us to collect the refuse, what it costs us to do recycling, the cost of continued maintenance, again, an indirect allocation of administration, and again, the tonnage, the disposal cost, same thing applies. And on those two activities, which is front load collection and roll off collection, those are our pass through cost, that because we provide the service to commercial customers, we essentially charge them that fee, transform that into the frequency of the account, the frequency of service or the tonnage. And so therefore it almost becomes to be a pass through cost and revenue associated with that to be able to offset those costs. So again, looking at what the cost is for year one, year two, and year three. And then when we look at food scraps, the program, again, what are we paying for collections, the allocation of administration, and the overall disposal operation cost that's to run the landfill in the as-is condition is about $8.2 million. So when you combine all those essentially costs, it really yields that we need to raise through revenue or through fees $54.8 million. Okay, that's the bottom line number, the projected bottom line number for years one, two, and three.
Carlos, can I ask, in your projections for the years two and three, did you simply use a percentage? My mind's not facile enough to figure out if there's just a percentage difference, or did you try to use the cost of living, or what did you use to project the increasing costs?
We just use a 5% cost escalator.
Okay.
Just to simplify things. Then if we scroll down, okay, then it really if we focus on table four, okay, right there, Lucy, that's good. Then I mentioned earlier, we need to generate $54.8 million of revenue to offset our operating cost, okay? And again, based on a cost of service. So then when I look at, okay, of what the current revenue is under the current fee, that's essentially what you see on that table is, where is the money coming from, okay? So from APC collections, $29.9 million, front load 6.5, commercial, disposal operations, food scraps. So at the end of the day, we're able to generate $48.8 million. But yet my revenue requirement is $54 million, again, based on the cost of service. So we have essentially a shortfall of approximately $6 million. And if we continue to essentially look at our projected revenue requirements and we do projections in terms of what that shortfall is going to be for years one, two, and three, it gives us a compound negative balance in year one of $6 million. Again, that scenario shows that there's not going to be rate increases. The following year, the shortfall will be $13 million. And the following year would be $22 million. Okay, so those are the financial projections if we don't essentially continue to provide the current services, and yet we don't make rate adjustments to offset some of our operating expenses. So, if we look at what's being recommended, the recommendation is really to increase the APC rates for customers by $6.25 per month over a 2-year period. So what the ask is really to increase the residential rate per month per household at $3.25. And what we're proposing is for it to be effective January 1st, 2023. And then the secondary increase to be effective January 1st, 2024, and it would be for essentially for $3. Okay. The other increase that we're essentially are proposing would be is really making adjustments in the front load and roll off fees to the tune of 10% effective January 1st, 2020. And that is really just for can you go up a little bit,
Lucy? Oh, did I pass it?
Yeah. 2023 as well. Okay. We are not projecting at this point in time to make an adjustment in 2024. We believe that 10% increase will essentially make us very competitive to a little bit above what the current commercial rates are in Tucson, but we still would be within the same ballpark. As you all know, our fees are not intended to undermine the private sector. Our fees are really just to be commensurate or very close to the private sector. We believe we're still going to be competitive, but we're not going to be the lowest service provider out there as it relates to commercial services. The increase that we're proposing is really making a $3 per ton increase at Los Reales, okay? And again, effective January 1st, 2023. So essentially going from essentially charging today about $32 a ton would be going back, would be increased $35 per ton. And so the folks that would primarily be affected would be your landscapers, your commercial customers, and some commercial haul or small commercial haulers. Your contractors, those will be the folks that will feel essentially that increase. So by virtue of doing that, if the council moves forward and with that recommendation, essentially now we can, if we want to scroll a little bit, Lucy, as well, then we're looking at on table five, really what is the financial position of the city or the Environmental Services Fund moving forward in year one, year two, and year three. So if the rates are adjusted in year one, still going to be underwater to the tune of $2.5 million. At year two, I think we're still below water, but not that much. We're almost at a level. But then in year three, essentially we're above the water line to the tune of $3.3 million. At that point in time, we may see that we're over recovering, but on that end, we got to keep in mind that if we continue with our capital improvement program, we're going to be essentially reducing our reserve fund, and that's what we're trying to avoid. Really, to draw down significantly, we want to be able to maintain a good balance moving forward. One of the things that we're not recommending at this point in time, any adjustments to the groundwater protection fee, because we feel that essentially that fund is still substantial. We don't have any major projects in the queue that would really necessitate significantly an increase in there. The other thing that we need to look at that, and we need more time on that, is the recycling surcharge. So we're not advocating really to make no modifications on that. Just want to keep it simple, make those adjustments in year one. And again, really trying to recover the true cost of providing the service. And that's the adjustment that is being proposed, $3 effective January 1st, 2023. So we essentially would be going, your garbage bill would, your typical garbage bill would go from, including recycling, brush and bulking, all the programs associated with that, it would go from $16.75 to essentially to an even $20, okay? And then in year two, then you would essentially go and essentially be at $23 an account. So pages within that context, what Lucy's calling is really just, those are just in more details, what the numbers would look like in terms of where the revenue coming in, if those funds are taken in, essentially where each fund will be at and each particular entity would be at. And just the actual number crunching that you will see if those proposed rates are adjusted accordingly. with that, that summarizes the content of that memo. So as we move forward, I know that there may be a lot of information to essentially to absorb. So this is going to be presented to Mayor and Council, I believe, on the meeting on September the 27th. And it's going to be presented again, not just for environmental services fee, but just a multitude of fees. I'm guessing that at that point in time, the Mayor and Council will direct the city manager to potentially move forward in the assets condition with all the fees. They can prioritize which fees they may want to take off the table. They may prioritize, it may be two or three fees that they may feel that need to be adjusted sooner rather than later. Or they may say, you know what, we're not interested in doing any adjust, figure something else out. What I'm hoping is really that maybe between now and the 27th, it gives you more time to digest this information. I want to present this information to you, and maybe hopefully when maybe in a week or so before the 27th, if the chairperson is okay, maybe we could schedule that meeting, and hopefully at that point in time, maybe there is a recommendation that maybe ESAC through a motion can provide us. So when we're in front of the city council, at least we have some direction or some guidelines from you in terms of where you may feel what we at, where we may be heading, or what your recommendation is. So, and we can make a determination. We don't have to decide that today, but I want to make sure that you had the information, you had an idea into the approach, what the recommendations are, what are some of the immediate steps moving forward, what the program may look like. And if, again, our ask would be is if the ESAC's on board, is really to have another meeting. We can certainly discuss this in more detail, and hopefully at that time we can have a motion and recommendation that essentially we can take to the council on the 27th.
Hi, Carlos. I just wanted to say I think it's good that they're going to spread it out over 2 years, just to help people so that they don't have a huge increase right away. I did want to suggest that we consider differential rates based on the size of the trash containers. So maybe people with the smallest container, they would have their rates stay the same. And then maybe people with the medium-sized container, they would have an $8 increase over the 2 years. And then those with the largest container, they would have maybe a $10 increase over the 2 years. And I'm just suggesting that because I think we should try to reward the people who are producing the least amount of trash, and then having those people who are generating more just contribute more in terms of our landfill costs and all that sort of thing. So that was just something I wanted to put out.
I like that.
Go ahead, Michael.
What I was going to say on that is I like the idea. The concern is, like in my case, I've got a larger container, but I put it out once every 2 weeks. But for people like me that, you know, put it out once every 2 weeks, we fill it with yard waste because my neighbor's trees are always falling into my yard and their debris and stuff. So penalizing somebody like me that has a large one because of other people's stuff really doesn't seem fair. I mean, I think across the board, you know, an increase is the way to go. That's just my thoughts.
My question had been as to whether this increase in fee would be both for the 96 and for the smaller size, which I forget what's the number, 50 something.
So I don't have all those rates memorized. I should, but unfortunately I don't. So we have the 5 gallon container. We have the 60-gallon container, we have the 95-gallon container, and we have the alley service, share service that it amounts to about 100 gallons per container, or 100 gallons per unit, okay? There is a differential rate for this, and I don't think the spread is as notable as what Susanna was mentioning earlier. We can certainly take a look at that and maybe provide you what the current structure is. And maybe, again, our focus is the vast majority of our customers, I would say 90 to 95% of them are the 95 gallon containers or the alley service. That's really where we put a lot of focus on that, but we can certainly look at the other ones and really make some projected adjustments to that discussion or to the recommendation. So yeah, let us look into that.
And then also, Carlos, you need to emphasize how long it's been since City of Tucson rates have been increased, because remember when we were talking about just minimal increases and that didn't fly, and then the pandemic hit and everything. So what are we up to, 12 years?
Just about, yes.
Mm-hmm. 12 years since there's been an increase. Mm-hmm. And then of course our population increased too. So we have to take that into consideration.
Mm-hmm. Carlos, could you talk a little bit more toward new initiatives that might be funded beyond just closing the cost of service gap, you know, with the zero waste plan, the city's action plan? How, if at all, do those considerations, so like the growth of food scrap collection or landfill gas stuff, how that works into this, if at all?
So in terms of, it would help us really continue to move those projects forward, not only from a pilot perspective or really getting them going and adequately staff essentially those programs. So it gives us more capacity to add more staff and add a little bit more equipment to make sure that we can really maintain what we got, but actually expand on those services. So like the composting program, put us in a better position really to make investments to the landfill gas program so that we can capture more. In terms of the landfill gas, it would give us a little bit of ability to absorb some of that component. But since we don't know what the financial structure is going to be, it's not built into this, because most likely it's because it's going to be a big investment. Most likely it will have to be financed. Most of that finance would be offset by some of the revenue that may be brought forward. So it's, we're not stopping those initiatives. We're still moving forward. We just don't know what essentially the financial arrangement is going to be. But if these fees are instituted, then it really gives us a lot more flexibility to move a lot of those programs forward, gives more financial ground, not only coupling them with additional revenue, but also our fund balance to be able to move a lot of those things forward in a much better way.
I think it's just really important to definitely stress that, you know, I see cumulative over getting up to 3.3, it's going to double the year after that, but no real change in some of those things that support the zero waste plan and the city's climate action plan. So just keep that in mind of, you know,
okay,
what happens with those revenues. They don't just continue to increase. That, like you said, definitely enables new things to start happening to support those plans.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Any other questions for Carlos?
So just maybe if some more questions.
Oh, here, wait, should we do a motion? should we decide whether we should do that now?
If you're comfortable with just with the recommendations, that'll be the most optimal condition for us. But again, I understand this is the first time you're seeing it. If maybe there's more questions, if you guys want to have another meeting, we can certainly go over it. And maybe you have more opportunity to give it more thought, more questions. And then you can certainly maybe at that point in time make a motion. But if the commission or the committee feels good, then we don't mind a motion either, basically affirming the recommendations on the study.
Carlos, this is Yolanda. Would it be possible to get copies of all that? I haven't been able to really look at it because I'm driving still.
Okay, certainly.
Yolanda, it was attached to the email, yeah.
Okay, so let me just ask quickly, do you guys think we need another meeting before we think about making a motion recommendation? And this would be presented to mayor and council. What was that, the 27th?
27th, yes.
Okay, on the 27th.
27th of this month or October?
Of this month.
Of this month.
Yeah, so we're kind of...
I would rather not push it. I mean, that's my own personal opinion. I would want to have an opportunity to digest it a little bit more and maybe some have conversations with other members of the community.
Anyone else have an opinion on this?
I'm muted. I would like to see Susanna's suggestions looked at. I know from in the past when we've done rate setting that when you can move some of the, you know, some of the revenue around a little bit. So I know you put it quite a bit higher, Susanna, for the main the main body of people who have the 96 cans, but how we could scale it back a little bit. I really believe also in trying to reward people who have less to put out and give them. And there are lots of additional charges in that because you still have the truck go by, even if it's a smaller can, you still have. So the only place that there's really savings is in the actual landfill costs. But I still think it would be nice to put in a reward structure for tossing less into your can and doing more recycling. So I'd like to see how New Jan or whoever's going to do that might adjust those things. So I guess I would favor a second meeting.
Yeah.
As a quick follow-up to that, is there any way to measure how much weight somebody is putting in their cans each week when they're picked up?
The city website says that the biggest container has 5 bags of household waste, whereas the smallest container has 3 bags. So I'm not sure what the weight turns out to, but it is quite a bit more for the big containers.
Yeah, thinking towards like the scenario that Mike shared, just some people don't produce as much waste. They might get picked up every week or every 2 weeks. Do we have that logistical system in place to get an idea of how much each household is actually throwing away, or is that beyond what we have available?
The technology is available. We don't have it in place. Okay, so we have some those general measures for commercial vehicles, but not for the residential customers.
Gotcha. And the other question is, Susanna, you were mentioning that the large containers hold 5 bags of trash and the smaller ones are 3?
Yeah, that's what the city website
says. It's really incorrect because I put like 10 bags in mine. So either I'm using really small bags or, and I still take it out every 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, I switched to the smallest container at my old house because I had a small garage. And so if I had a lot of yard waste, because I also had neighbors' trees dumping so much stuff into my yard. So what we would do is we would just leave a bag in the garage full of leaves until the next week. So we would have them pick up every week, but we'd just like spread it out over a couple weeks to get everything in. So it was just kind of a little bit of advanced planning.
I just don't like keeping trash because then it brings rodents and all kinds of other things.
I think if it's leaves, it's not such a big problem.
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah, but if you've got leaves, we could discuss that all day. We need to move on. Okay.
I don't have to make a motion to just vote on another meeting, do I?
You should.
You think so?
Yeah, I think people have to agree to have another meeting.
Chris, before you do that, I have one question because I don't remember hearing anything about, or maybe it's because I've been in and out of my car. The larger 300, the ones that are in the shared alley ones, what are their rates going to go up?
So right now they pay $16 and their rate would go to essentially for an additional same amount, $0.25. So it'll be going to $19.25. And then the $3 after that. So $22.25. So essentially the same distribution.
Okay, so the question I have is, I know in my son's neighborhood, they wanted to go to individual containers and they have not heard back from the city. So I'm thinking that that's going to increase cost and having to get, if the city allows that, additional costs to get individual bins. I mean, do we have all of those factored into the numbers that we're looking at?
So most of the time when we do those alley conversions, that's, we can absorb that as part of our O&M costs. Traditionally, we're not really converting a lot of huge subdivisions. Every year, we roughly spend almost $1 million containers on buying containers. And so obviously their cost has significantly increased. So we used to pay roughly $45 a can. Now they're somewhere between $65 and $75 a can. We got the bid out right now, and hopefully get a lot more vendors than just one. So those are some of the things that we want to continue to provide the support. But I think we're running out of room of how we can provide those services without really making adjustments here and there all the time. So I don't think it's really a concern to be able to make that requirement and be able to meet those service requests as a community demands. So, but that's really the intent, is how can we be more in a financial position really to be able to do that? And we're not going to use that as an excuse not to do that. And I think probably part of the play is on getting those going is just like everybody else is seeing some supply chain issues. Essentially, the containers are facing the same thing. So we are seeing a definitely an impact to our ordering of the containers as well.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So I don't necessarily have to make this motion, but I can, right?
Well, I can make it for you.
You want to, and then you know what? And also dates. I know we could look at the next couple of Thursdays before the meeting. Carlos, we have to, you'll attend, right?
Yes.
And so we have to figure out when you're going to be able to show up and everybody else too. So anyhow, go ahead and make your motion, Marco.
I was going to move that we try for the 22nd, which is a Thursday of September, that we hold a special meeting for discussion of the rates and the rate structure at 4 o'clock on the 22nd.
Is there a second?
I second that motion.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so let's take a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. So the motion passes, and we will be adding a special meeting on the 22nd, which is a Thursday. And then we can formulate our recommendation to the mayor and council on the 27th of September. So
just a couple more thoughts, and just what you see in the slide in front of you, it just shows the various rates throughout the cities, not only in Arizona, but some cities out of state. So that just tells you where we at today, and even with the adjustment, essentially where the city of Tucson would be at with the $3.25 and the $3 even as compared to some of the other rates as they exist today. So just as a point of reference, what one of the things we're trying, and this just gives you what the monthly fee one of the things we're also working on that is really making a comparison out of that list in terms of what services are being provided. Some cities don't provide all the services that we provide. So we just want to make sure that we're comparing apples to apples as you relate to the various programs. And lastly, see if you can share the waste management bill.
Sure.
The other tab, which is the...
I was looking at that.
So just, again, there's a couple... the zip code, which is on the north west side of town, okay? And it really tells you really the fees that a customer pays out in the county, okay? And that is per quarter, okay? For a recycling bin in a 96 gallon container. So they roughly are paying essentially $100 or close to $110 or $12 for those services. So when you, and again, I'm not comparing ourselves to that, but just gives you an idea in terms of the services that he's providing, what is some of the public private companies are charging, and the services are not the same. So in the county, we all know that there's no brush and bulky service, there is no NRCs, there is no roll-off service, there's not a lot of that stuff. And so just wanted to give you as a point of reference. We're trying to get other bills so that way it gives you an idea of where we're at. Again, don't take it as that we're advocating or at all. It's just want to give you an idea in terms of where we're at. We're not even close in terms of what other people may be assessing. So just as a point of reference. That's it. Thank you.
Anybody want to add to the conversation, or should we move on? Okay, yes, Ryan.
I don't want to overcomplicate things, but you were talking about increasing the rate by $3.25 for all users. And so that's the same dollar amount for each various kind of user. But maybe another way that you could approach this is by increasing by a certain percentage. So like $3.25 is a 19% increase for the 1675 users, but for those alley, congregational containers, like a 19% increase would be around $10, and that would address maybe a little bit of Susanna's suggestion as well about, having a differential rate increase across the different sizes of containers.
Yeah, certainly take a look at those, yes.
Okay, so maybe with more background, we can have a longer discussion on this the next time we meet this month.
What time is that gonna be again?
4:00. Four. And okay, no other comments? Great. Item four, zero waste discussion.
So I know Andrea gave you a briefing last week. I know there was a lot of questions that came up. There's still a lot of pending information we need to give to you. So we're working through that. Obviously, time came up so quickly that we didn't get ourselves prepared for that. But we owe you that information. We are planning on giving the mayor and council an update as part of the October 5th meeting, just an overview of where we at so far and what are some of the next steps. And we're going to start pretty much organizing some of the stakeholder outreach. You as ESAC being one of them as a stakeholder. So we're going to program essentially those workshops also towards the end of the month as well, either end of the month, beginning of the month. So that's what's maybe coming our way as well. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? All right. Let's move on then to item five, monthly finance report.
If I may respectfully ask to see if we can maybe table this item for the next meeting. I'll be short probably next time. I just honestly just didn't have an opportunity to review it. So I just want to see if you give me that opportunity and I'll cover
it. Oh, that's fine, Carlos. Okay. Especially after you just went over this last report. Okay. So we can cut you some slack on this. No problem. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, let's move on then to item 8 for the subcommittee reports. And so we just have one coming from Marco, does a great job reporting on waste diversion collections and education subcommittee.
All right, well, Chris and I met yesterday. We missed Yolanda, but she was also driving or otherwise occupied. As part of the chair's report, Margot told of her experience with code enforcement re a very large 80-foot high or so dread eucalyptus tree. The stated cost $15,000 to remove it. The actual was $2,800 plus was an issue. They gave us a very high bid. I was luckily able to find it. I just kept thinking of people who are on a minimum income being faced with a $15,000 bill to remove a tree. But I did have a lot of problems with the telephone trying to get a roll off in order to take away the tree after it was cut down. I was put on hold for over 10 minutes. And we used to pride ourselves on having our calls picked up in 60 seconds. So I was disappointed in that change. And also the roll-off couldn't be delivered for over 3 weeks. So what we finally did was we cut up the main part of the tree for lumber. Anybody needs any firewood, you're welcome to come to my house and get some. I'm sharing it with the Apache reservation, with all kinds of neighbors. And and with the branches part, we piled along the side of the road, and within 3 or 4 days, Brush and Bulky came and got it. And I don't know what the cost will be, but I'm expecting it to be at the $55 range. So the roll-off was not a very successful effort, and just even trying to get it. So that's just really feedback for the organization as to what one person's experience was in trying to navigate the system. The MRF report showed us down by about 70 tons in collections, or about 3.3%. The price for cardboard was up slightly, also for newspaper and other papers. All the rest of the commodities were about the same or slightly down. The net result was that we paid the MRF $56,221.58, which was $6,000 more than last month, which was an increase of 12%. This includes our residue or contamination continuing at 28.8%, which is expensive. There are no movement on the negotiations for the contract amendments with the MRF, and the contract is being extended on a month-by-month basis. So we were told the hang-up is within the city. Where in the city that renegotiation? Because we had given some special breaks, we being the city, to the MRF so that it continue operating when the cost dropped to essentially zero for purchasing the recyclables. Now that they're back up and some of them are running over $1,000 a ton, it's time to renegotiate that and get some of our funds back. And those are the amendments that we're trying to encourage the city to get moving on them so we can move those. And of course, delaying just advantages the company the Republic, since they continue to get more money from us than we think we should be paying. Frank Benias reported on collections, and he mentioned that in October, we just heard that there will be a full ESAC presentation on the Ward 6 plastics program. We'd asked for a sort of an interim presentation. And he had no information about the recycling disposal of electric car vehicle batteries. They're waiting on information coming in from SWANA, which is the Solid Waste Association of North America. Their research foundation is working on this issue since it is a national issue. And so we participate in that foundation. So we'll have a right to that information when it comes out. So it's kind of one of those things that's sitting in the background. Christina reported that November 5th is the date of the Zero Waste Day collections at Catalina Methodist Church on Speedway. All the previous vendors who came to the last one are returning. We discussed a bit the issue of traffic flow and control since the church is on Speedway. Now the police are involved in this and hopefully their traffic control. They are working on the issue. I'm quite concerned after observing some of the traffic that happens around the household hazardous waste collection days. And the fact that it's on Speedway, which is a major street, and the other cross street close to it is Tucson Boulevard, which is a fairly small collector. And there needs to be some really thinking about how that's going to happen so that we don't get into some real problems. Christina had the materials ready for the insert in the utility bill for November, which will be the household hazardous waste schedule for the following year. In December, the insert will be on tree cycle and holiday pickups. In January, it will be the recycling schedule. Those will be the inserts in the utility bills. And then there's a separate mailing in November for the brush and bulky schedule. So it's a lot of work that she's been working on over the last couple of months, and it's coming together and sounds like it's ready to go. Though she mentioned there was one issue about Juneteenth, about whether it's going to be a holiday or not a holiday and how that's going to be handled. But right now they're just moving forward as though it's the same as this past year, which was, I believe it was not a holiday. She's also working on scheduling a series of community meetings on the role of ES in the homeless protocol, illegal dumping, and the availability of compost for people to pick up. I think Carlos mentioned that there were going to be some community meetings on some of these topics. We postponed the discussion on code enforcement regarding food trucks, the internal audit, and home occupations, because as Chris mentioned, Lori was not available. So it's been rescheduled for next month. Frank Benias reported that the household hazardous waste has been temporarily moved at the Los Reales to the barn while the HHW site is being expanded and undergoing new construction with concrete floors, storage tanks where they can hold consolidated chemicals balancing the base and the acids, exhaust fans, and there will be a full canopy cover so no stormwater will come into contact with the HHW. If any does fall into the area where it is, it has to be contained, sucked up, and put into cans and shipped away. So that gets very expensive. So it's important for the stormwater to be carefully managed. And they're also in the final stages for the design of cell 4B at the landfill. It should go out to bid pretty soon. They still have some Department of Correction crews, but they're not so reliable anymore. Frank was telling us they'll ask for 5 people to come and maybe 2 will show up, or maybe 3, or maybe none, because there's a lockdown. So apparently it's become, before we relied on them quite heavily. And also, they were part of the crews that were doing brush and bulky. So they're happy to have some new, what they call ESW, which is Environmental Services Workers, that were authorized by the council as part of that bucket of money that was, I don't want to call it an excess, but unallocated that we had. And so some of them are going to the landfill to help with cleanup there and to continuing to maintain those, the grounds. And the other group will make an additional crew that will handle the illegal dumping, the homeless site cleanup, and then help brush and bulky as it's needed. So those are, I guess, getting already higher than getting on the job. So we actually had a very short meeting for us. And the next meeting is October 5th. That's 3 o'clock. You're not all welcome to come, but.
We wish we could.
We wish we could invite you all to come. We have a great discussions. And especially on the code enforcement on the food trucks. I think we have a lot of questions about all the food trucks that are parking around and the ones that are leaving behind big cement pieces to hold up their awnings and how all that's supposed to be working out. Yolanda's favorite topic.
Well, and I just wanted to say I missed that meeting because we had that meeting with the city attorney regarding today's liquor board hearing.
Well, it's fine. You didn't miss anything because we didn't have the discussion. So,
okay.
That worked out.
So okay. Many meetings.
too many. So I don't know if this is a good time to ask this question or, but I was thinking, I was just down 12th Avenue again as I'm driving. I'm stopped now in front of the post office. Is there any way we can get somebody from Environmental Services to drive down 12th and take a survey of all these food trucks that are popping up everywhere? We've got to have there's got to be about 100 of them now. Wow. And just less than a mile. Less than a mile.
Well, you know what code enforcement tells us, they're a complaint-driven effort. So send in a complaint to code enforcement. And that's okay. The way and to get something going.
I will also send a complaint regarding Family Dollar and the fact that they're trash all over their store and the fact that they've had their building boarded up now for 6 weeks.
That's another code enforcement thing. So
make sure somebody sends me their phone number. I'll have their phones burning.
I have a question about that. Is there a difference between these guys setting up on private property and city property?
I think we're going to have to wait till we get the food truck report. Let's wait. We'll get information from Lori Pumphreys, who is with code enforcement.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be good to get that report and find
right, out. Because really we can't discuss it right now because it's not on the agenda.
It's not on the agenda. So right now I think we can move to item 7 for future agenda items. My dogs are being jerks. Anyone have
anything? I would say hopefully you have your report on the food truck thing. So if we can get a report, on that, if you've already had your meeting.
We will.
What we can't do, where they can park, what happens if they're on private property or public property, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So.
And making sure that they have taken a tour of our area down here.
It's a good idea.
Tour of South 12th.
Yeah. And we can contact Lori and ask her to maybe include that.
And if we put it on the agenda here, she can give a talk about everything, I think.
Perfect.
Yeah, that would be good. We'll see if she can free herself up. I think she's in court Tuesdays and Thursday mornings. So she might be able to make it.
Let her know I'd be more than happy to drive her around, not just on 12th, but on Park Avenue as well.
Okay. I ain't riding with you.
We're off again. Okay.
Yeah.
I would suggest a happy hour, but whatever.
I'm in.
Your items.
So, all right. Okay. Any other future agenda items? Okay. So, item 8, call to audience.
I have something.
Wait.
What?
You're not audience.
Aren't I an audience?
you're not audience.
Oh, well, okay. When you can't bring it up on any other place, I think we sometimes do
call. Margo. It's that darn open meeting law, Carlos.
Well, no, I just wanted to make a compliment to Carlos' staff. The lady that came by in my neighborhood, her name's Deb. We had a situation with our HOA, the cleaning crew quit cleaning the pool area, the community pool. And so another board member and I went down and we emptied out like, oh my God, we had like 8 big 55-gallon bags of trash and debris. And she came by and we were running to the street with the cans because, you know, there was no, they weren't out of the street. She stopped, she dumped them. You know, she said, just put the bags back in the can and we'll dump. She did a really nice job. She was really good. So I don't know her last name, but I know she's in my neighborhood. So she was, you're on mute, Chris.
Dogs are messing me up here.
Oh, so yeah, no, I just wanted to say that she did a really great job.
All right.
Good.
Find out her last name. Okay, we've made it.
Wait. I have one more concern. Because truck 1516 is always leaking oil and smelly stuff every time they make a stop to pick up a trash bin. I have all these stains up and down my street. Well, some days it's worse than others.
Okay, probably Pat.
Okay.
Yeah, that would work.
Okay. I've got lots of pictures.
Yeah. Carlos, so we're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, we're getting ourselves in trouble. So my suggestion to all of you would be is on those types of requests, just send us either Brittany, yeah. Lucy, send me a quick about them so that we can incorporate them and that way it doesn't put us in a bind and we don't give folks really an opportunity to pull up our ears. So, and that way it's easier really for us to follow up, assign the work, and ensure that essentially we take care of that stuff outside of the spirit of intent of these meetings. So that would help us out significantly. Thank you.
Okay. So here we are, item 9, adjournment at 5:14. Thank you, everybody, for getting involved in the conversation. We'll have more. And then see you in, 2 weeks?
2 weeks. Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.